Craig, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Excellent. I'm happy to be here.
So you are with the Viral Special Pathogens branch at the CDC. What special specific classification of viruses are you typically dealing with within that branch?
Within the Viral Special Pathogens branch, we look at some of the more dangerous viruses on the planet. And the ones you may be familiar with include, for example, Ebola. So our branch and the whole of CDC was really involved in that big response to Ebola in West Africa and then those few cases in the U.S. But in addition to Ebola, there is also research going on in our Viral Special Pathogens branch into hantavirus as well.
Here within the Four Corners area, we have definitely had some issues with the hantavirus. Could you talk to us a little bit about the virus and specifically how it spread and then transmitted to humans?
Absolutely. This hantavirus, when we speak of hantaviruses, we actually want to be sure that we make it clear that we're speaking about an entire family of viruses, and the particular one that is found in the Southwest is called the Synombre hantavirus. So as with other hantaviruses, there's a particular rodent host, that is to say an animal, that is carrying that virus. And in the case of Synombre virus, it's the deer mouse that is carrying that. But it's important to point out that not every deer mouse that you come across is going to be carrying hantavirus. The number might be actually very small, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8% of these deer mice that are potentially carrying hantavirus at any given time. So you have a family of viruses. There are other hantaviruses around the world, certainly in South America and Europe, and you know, there have been cases of those specific hantaviruses causing infection in humans, and these symptoms that they experience are actually somewhat different from the symptoms caused by infection with the specific hantavirus here in the U.S.
Okay, and for the Synombre virus, why does the Four Corners seem to be a hotbed for it?
I'm not sure that the Four Corners area is necessarily a hotbed. There are more cases there, but you also see on any given map of hantaviruses in the cases in the U.S., you have cases out in, for example, California. You have people getting sick in Utah, Nevada, Montana, Wyoming. So at different times of the year, you will perhaps be seeing more cases. And as I look at my map right now of where hantavirus cases have been, at least as of January of this year, the total for New Mexico is around 100, total for Colorado around 93, total for Arizona around 76. This is ever since we started counting back in 1993 when there was this mysterious illness that was appearing out in Navajo. So you have deer mice out there in abundance. They are in the rural areas. When people move into those rural areas, they find that it's deer mice coming into their garages, into their barns, into their outbuildings, and the deer mice basically in those rural situations are able to compete better than other mice in terms of finding forage, finding harborage to build nests, and finding food, and eventually coming into close contact with humans and eventually perhaps, you know, transmitting disease to them.
And so what are the signs and symptoms that we should be looking for?
In the early symptoms, if infection is taking place, the early symptoms would include fatigue, tiredness, fever, muscle aches typically in the large muscle groups of the body, like the thighs and the back and sometimes shoulders. And these symptoms often can resemble the symptoms of flu. Mm-hmm. You can also have headaches, dizziness, abdominal problems sometimes, nausea. And some patients, but not all, will experience some of these. And then what can happen thereafter, but it doesn't necessarily absolutely happen each and every time someone gets sick with hantavirus, you can have these later symptoms, and these are the ones that people know about probably through the media, and these are the ones which are quite serious, and these are the ones that should get a person with these symptoms into a clinic or a hospital for treatment. This mm-hmm. is the familiar shortness of breath or coughing And on our website, we've got some descriptions of someone putting it as this sensation like of a tight band around my chest and a pillow over my face as the lungs are filling up with fluid in response to infection with hantavirus. So this is a very serious turn of events. It's also something which happens fairly quickly, and it's also time to just have to call the ambulance, to call 911, and to move into a facility like a hospital that can provide the level of care that is needed for this phase. Usually the sooner one is treated, the sooner treatment starts, the better in terms of outcome. And it's important to say that there is no vaccine for hantavirus. So the only treatment is the supportive care that would be provided at a hospital or similar facility.
And you'd mentioned that the earlier symptoms are similar to the flu. We definitely don't want a lot of people flocking to the emergency room. And so, you know, at what point do you know that it's time to go to the doctor, that you can distinguish it from the flu? Are you talking that you should wait until you see these later symptoms?
The idea is that the earlier symptoms, together with a history of being potentially exposed to rodents in, you know, deer mice out there, would be enough to warrant going in to talk to your physician and to say, here are my symptoms, and by the way, I have potentially been exposed to rodents.
Okay.
And in that part of the country where physicians are alert to this particular reporting, the combination of the symptoms we've just been talking about and a possible exposure to rodents, that triggers in their mind the possibility of hantavirus.
Okay. So we only have a couple minutes left, so I want to get to the prevention side of it. What can we do to prevent ourselves from contracting the hantavirus?
The best prevention here is to talk about three things, and these three things can be undertaken in exactly this order in which I say them. We call it sealing up, trapping up, and cleaning up. So the idea is that if your home has many holes through which mice can come and go, you can trap until the cows come home, but there will still be the possibility that mice can enter freely. So to get out ahead of that, the idea is to begin by sealing up. And sealing up means going around with caulking or with copper wool or with expanding foam and looking for places behind the sink, in the cabinets, below the toilet, in the basement of the house, to make sure that you can put something in there that will prevent these small creatures from coming in. And when we say small, these guys can get through something the size of a nickel, if not smaller.
Okay.
And if it's helpful to suggest to people that they can work in pairs, in like around twilight, one person can hold the flashlight and point it up or down while the other person looks from the underside or from topside and can actually see where these holes might be.
Okay. And when they're, I think we have time for one more question. So when we are cleaning up these mouse droppings, should we be using a respirator or will a dust mask work?
The proper way to clean up small amounts of droppings or a dead mouse, for example, that's been trapped using a snap trap, is to use some kind of disinfectant, and even 10% bleach and 90% water will work. Wear gloves and then wear some kind of a mask, even an N95 mask, the likes of which you can get at a hardware store, will work. And you spray down that mouse or you spray down the droppings. You let it sit for maybe 10 minutes or so, and then you bag it up and you can put it inside a second bag, and then all that can go in the trash. And then afterwards, you wash the gloves in soap and water, and then when you remove the gloves, you wash your hands in soap and water. So the virus is rather fragile once it's outside the animal. It won't last for longer than 4 or 5 days. But the important part is if there is any infectious virus on those gloves, you want to be able to wash that off. And soap, even hand soap, will just dissolve that virus quickly.
Okay. Well, Craig, thank you so much for joining us today. That was Craig Manning from the Viral Special Pathogens Branch at the CDC speaking with us today about the hantavirus. I'm your host, Kelly Pettigen, and this is the Big Fat Farm Show. Join us in 2 weeks for another edition of the show. Thanks for listening, and thanks for being part of the local food movement.